You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 29th day of August, 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the last trading day of the month and the last trading day of the quarter. On the phone line to take up the futures markets with us is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the way the numbers finished up. On the weekly trade, what did you see in the changes to begin with?
Interesting weekly trade, and I'm glad you asked before we went on the air to pull up the monthly changes before we got to talking, because the weekly and monthly changes are pretty interesting. Dease corn ended up being down about 6 3/4. Nove beans down about 17.5. Dease wheat up 1 1/4. Interesting that was a pretty disappointing week over week close when it comes to the corn and beans, and I would even say that for the wheat. And it makes sense given that the last 3 weeks in a row we've had this mindset where the fundamentals seem to be getting better as far as the supply-demand fundamentals and the, obviously the geopolitical fundamentals, but the early week gains or the midweek gains are all given back, and we remain in, especially in the wheat market, a pretty wide, wide trading range, you know, sideways trading range. And we hit that high trading range band yesterday and could not get back up above it. And I think this becomes, now that we're at the end of the month trade, Todd, a key level. That 565.5 in lead month wheat is the area where we've tried to get above. It was also the area that we were in support until because it was the January lows, until we broke below it here about a month ago. So a close back above 565.5 in lead month wheat, in my opinion, weekly close above, would confirm a technical low in the wheat market.
That would be good news, I suppose, for almost all concerned, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would, because wheat has been the leader to the downside. And when you look at the monthly charts and the monthly price action since the July 31st close, we can see a trend shift in the fundamentals shifting as well. And that's created an opportunity for the funds to change their spread activity. In other words, Dease corn only closed down about 2 1/4 cents, while November beans closed down almost 58 cents for the month of August. Meanwhile, the December wheat was able to close up 13 3/4 cents for the month of August. That's the first monthly higher close since April. So you're talking about almost 6 months worth of lower monthly closes, and we finally broke that streak.
So we finished out the marketing year for the last crop. That would have been the harvest of 2013. Now we're looking for the harvest of 2014. We should have a very big corn crop, 14 billion bushels or better. And we're still determining how big the soybean crop might be. When you look forward to the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and the crop production report that's due out in this coming month, September, what kind of numbers do you expect to see?
I guess I still think that they're going to stay below the 170 level, or come in right around the 170 level, but not much above as far as corn yield. The bean yield is going to be a little bit more difficult to get an idea from, since we are, you know, lag about a month or two on USDA with their actual yield estimates versus what their statistics would suggest. But I don't think we can look for any yield declines in the beans. I think that's a fair assessment at this point. You had asked me earlier today on the morning report, you know, I talked about how the December corn in 2009 was able to rally from early September to late October about 32% from the closes. And I went back and looked at the soybeans, and they too were able to rally in that same time period from a September 4th close of 9.22 to an October 22nd close of about 10.05.5. Not near as much as in terms of percentage gain versus the 2009 corn rally, but a gain nonetheless. I also went back and looked at the September USDA reports, and we did see both corn and bean yields go up. We went from a 159.5 corn yield in August up to a 161.9, and in the beans we went from 41.7 to 42.3. Now our stocks to use ratios in the corn are very similar to what they were back in 2009, right around 12.5 to 13.5%, but the beans quite a bit different. 7% stocks to use ratio back in September 2009 whereas as of this past month, stocks to use number was over 12%. So that would make even more sense that the beans would have more difficulty rallying from early Sep to mid-October, given those stocks to use numbers this year.
So a lot of similarities. One of the differences at this point would be that we have a mature ethanol market at this time, but it was still ramping up in 2009. How much of a difference will that make, do you suppose?
Well, I think, you know, that's a good point, but I would also counter that with we've got the lowest Labor Day gas prices since 2010 that we're dealing with, and so we are probably going to pump out a lot more E10 than we did back in 2009, given that we were coming off the financial crisis. And the other thing I think maybe counterweighs your very valid point is the issue that we were going into the European debt crisis. The early warning signs of that were starting to show up, and we were in the throes of it by March 2010. And I think that financial crisis really helped keep the equities markets weaker, and it kept the commodity markets very deflationary, not unlike where we're at right now. But you have a totally different look in the equities, and the global growth looks totally different compared to where we were back in 2009 and 2010. So I think those two things, the ethanol price, gas price, and the global demand, would suggest to me that it's not as bad as it was back in 2009 when it comes to the actual demand side of the equation for corn, beans, and wheat.
Oftentimes, holiday periods are associated with changes in the marketplace in direction. Is that the case with the Labor Day weekend?
I think it should be. I mean, I think this is where this morning you asked about the bean, forecast and analysis, and I said short term, I'm friendly because of the technicals. There's gaps in the charts. The weekly charts are extremely oversold, and we do have some substantial rainfall coming into the Delta at this point, Todd. So I think that given those three factors, it lines up very nicely that we could have a similar price action coming back after Labor Day that we did have back during that 2009 time period. And I like especially that the wheat was able to eke out a weekly higher close. And the geopolitics continues to puzzle me. The trade clearly is not interested in putting in a premium in the commodities, even though historically they probably should. And I think this goes back to that central bank and the monetary policy we've had the last 7.5 years. They don't have any reason in their minds to come in and put geopolitical premium in when they know the central banks are going to try and offset that and countermand that. But you can only play that song so far, I suspect. And I bet by the time we get into the November-December time period, using Russia as a good example, their inflation, their food price makes up about 30% of their overall inflation. I think that's going to be a pretty big issue come November to the world markets and the commodity people in particular.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Have a great Labor Day, everybody, and enjoy your families.
Mike Zuzulo, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon.